I'm Marcus Bellringer Bell, entrepreneur, music producer, futurist, and you're at the edge of AI where the future and human creativity meet. Keep listening.
Hello, AI podcast passengers. Jump on in. Here's what's to come on today's journey. Find out why this production team believes the future of music is AI powered. Find out how today's guest is using AI to become immortal, how AI came to be for this guest from his quest to fire himself. All this and more, take your seat.
Welcome aboard the Edge of AI podcast. Snap into your safety belt and prepare to explore the depths of the rapidly expanding AI universe. Each episode is a dispatch featuring hyper-relevant reports from the pilots, pioneers, and passengers aboard the AI rocket ship. We explore the latest use cases and developments in AI, hear from experts building tech, and learn how this disruptive force is transforming industries and society.
Welcome aboard the Edge of AI podcast. Snap into your safety belt and prepare to explore the depths of the rapidly expanding AI universe. Each episode is a dispatch featuring hyper-relevant reports from the pilots, pioneers, and passengers aboard the AI rocket ship. We explore the latest use cases and developments in AI, hear from experts building the tech, and empower you to enhance your own life with AI and learn how this disruptive force is transforming industries and society. I'm Ron Levy, your captain for today's voyage. Just like most of you, I've embraced the spirit of exploration throughout my life, from starting my own business before graduating high school to traversing the world's most challenging terrains. I've always sought out new frontiers. I built one of the largest award-winning custom home companies, and most recently I've navigated complex regulations while founding and leading a public company that is dedicated to applying technology and training. Buckle up and get ready. Let's tackle uncharted territories in AI today with curiosity as our guiding star. So today's episode, Marcus Bell, and we call him Marcus Bellringer Bell, and he stands at the crossroads of music, technology, and social impact. As an acclaimed American music producer, he's a hit songwriter and a best-selling author. His creative genius has graced collaborations with industry titans like Snoop Dogg, Timberland, Nicki Minaj, Beyonce, and at the helm of Bellringer Productions, Marcus has left his mark across major networks and studios like Sony Music, HBO, Netflix, and Universal Music, showcasing his versatility and innovation. Beyond the studio, he shines as a social media influencer as well, AI prompt engineer, and an entrepreneur. He's deeply committed to education and social justice. His work culminated in the Amazon number one bestseller, Bellringer Branding Bible. He co-authored it with his mother in 2018, which is a testament to his enduring influence because it is still celebrated in the top 100 6 years post-release. Marcus embodies the essence of a technologist and futurist, redefining the boundaries of creativity and advocacy. Timeless Legacies is a company committed to immortalizing, protecting, preserving, and honoring the works of legends in the field of medicine, art, music, literature, science, and ministry, and those who uplift humanity. Leveraging artificial intelligence, the company empowers individuals to perpetuate and profit from their legacies, ensuring their contributions endure and inspire future generations. Under the creative leadership of Marcus Bell, Bellringer Productions has emerged as a powerhouse idea factory, renowned for its role in producing chart-topping hits for TV, film, and radio. Boasting a team of Grammy-winning and multi-platinum selling talents, Bellringer Productions infuses life and energy into an impressive roster of projects for clients, including ABC, CBS, MTV, and the Discovery Network. Their signature touch has graced cultural phenomena such as America's Next Top Model, Law & Order, and MTV Video Music Awards, American Idol, Step Up 2, and a host of other groundbreaking shows, cementing their status as a beacon of innovation and excellence in the entertainment industry. Marcus, welcome to Edge of AI podcast.
Thank you. So great to be here with you, Ron.
It's going to be great. So before we get into your journey of creating the chart-topping hits, I'd love to know how you kind of how your interest in AI came to be. So let's get to the path that drew you into the tech, and I'm going to lay something out here. Maybe we can speak to it this way.
Okay.
You've been in the industry since the 1980s, the music industry, and you've mm-hmm. seen a world of changes. So now that we're in the 2020s, which is, it's unfolding as the decade that generative AI took a foothold in the industry. Can you break down the changes that would summarize each decade from the 80s till now and the change that happened per decade? Not in great detail, but just let's frame it by decade a little bit.
Yeah, well, let me just start by going back in time a little bit. So I started in music when I was 2 years old. And I grew up in an underserved community in Virginia. And my mother, she was working at a university and had purchased one of the first Macintosh computers back in the 80s. And so I remember that feeling of excitement. And, you know, it was an expensive computer, but that expensive toy gave me the access to technology when other people weren't necessarily looking in that way. And around that same time, I started writing music and wanted to record songs on something other than a cassette recorder, right? And so my mom purchased a 4-track, and that's when my career in tech and music started. With that 4-track.
I know back then I owned a TIAC 3340, and I think it had an S at the end of it. I'm not sure. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, I didn't have that. I think I had a Tascam. It was, anyway. But that led me to always look for how I could do things faster, better, cheaper, and take things from my thinking and ideas that I would have in my imagination and transmit that out for people to be able to interact with it, whether it's through music, whether it's through writing, whether it's through speaking or performing like that. And so I was fascinated by how the technology could amplify my creativity and just streamline processes and open up new possibilities for storytelling, for engaging and expression. And so when I look over time from when I went to Berklee School of Music and I started working with a program called eMagic Logic and I had ADATs and all of this to around 2014 when I saw the first AI mastering software, which is called Lander. And I used to spend hours in a mastering studio with a mastering engineer. And then with Lander, I would just upload the song that I mixed. And within minutes, it was mastered. And so that blew my mind back then in 2014. You know, 10 years later, now the possibilities are so exciting. It's the same feeling I had when I first got exposed to cryptocurrency and started doing, you know, things in that space. But it's really, as far as I could tell, even though AI has been around since the 50s, right? It's still the early days of possibilities for the general public to engage with this technology.
Yeah, the public engagement is only very new, right? Even though the tech has been around and growing for decades, mm-hmm. really for the masses, it's what, a year, not quite a year and a half old.
Exactly.
For that. And you brought up crypto and blockchain. There's no question that there's going to be a big overlap between AI, blockchain, crypto. They're all going to help each other over time,
absolutely.
Right?
I remember when Midjourney launched, the first day I was using it, right? And now those images that can be generated in platforms like Midjourney, as it relates to the music industry, that's where you can have your album covers done and you can have the visuals to go with your creative expression on the audio side, right? So, and they can be turned into NFTs. So this is a great place where the merging of those possibilities of NFTs and AI and generative artwork and so forth merge.
There's some things that you spend a lifetime preparing for and the actual execution is a minute, right? And I feel like your resume and what you've done over the decades is very powerful. I'm very aware of it. And it's almost like you set the table and now this thing arrives. And, you know, there's plenty of opportunity for someone that doesn't have, you know, your experience and resume to still jump in and do things. But when you put on there the renowned artists you've worked with and, you know, the best-selling books, et cetera, you're just putting turbochargers, you know, on your career and what you can achieve next. And I think I guess we'll all thank you for that. That's going to help propel this industry, and you'll be blazing your trail through that. And it helps all of us. And to that end, let's talk a little bit about Timeless Legacies. So that's your new company, which is built around AI. And tell us a little bit about what it is and who it's there to serve.
Well, it started with a vision that I had some decades ago. I was attending a presentation and someone was doing a presentation on legacy and technology around supporting people with that. And the idea came like, oh my goodness, one day I want to become immortal, right? So I want my daughter, who's Melanie, who's 9 years old, to, if I were to pass right now, for her to be able to still interact with me, to still be able to access the things that I've said in interviews or podcasts like this, or my writing or courses that I've led to help people, that she's able to access that body of knowledge and get my perspective on something. And so it started there. And when I saw what was possible with the tools that arrived last year, I went all in.
Yeah.
It was like the first time I discovered playing the blues scale on the piano. And I remember that moment. I was 9 years old. And this instructor, his name is Rogers Brown. He was the head of the music department at Norfolk State University in Virginia. And he showed me the blues scale and basically said, here's the scale, you can play whatever it is you want. Now, for me, that was mind-blowing because I had been studying classical music. And so the fact that now I had a tool to be able to do whatever it is that I wanted, I just immersed myself in it. I went, they had to drag me off of the piano, Ron, because I was so excited. And that same feeling is how I felt when I saw the tools that were being developed with AI last year. And so I ate AI, I slept AI, I took about 40 courses on AI, became a prompt engineer, started coding different, use cases for it, et cetera. And it clicked, wait a minute, this is that moment that I had envisioned decades ago. So I took all of the courses that I've led to help people with building wealth and impact. I took all of the interviews that I've done and I trained a model. And then I sat down with my daughter and said, hey, you know, you can ask some questions of the Marcus Bell AI. And she did. And so that opened up the gates for Timeless Legacies. Because
so I'm going to summarize real quick, because there's a lot of people here that'll be listening here that are immersed in AI and what you're saying, they're going to truly understand. But there's some people that maybe they're not quite there yet. And I just want to frame some things. So trained a model. So what Marcus is mentioning there, and you certainly correct me if I'm wrong, is that you can do your you can set up your enclosed AI and you feed into it the knowledge base. It's like taking an infant and like feeding it in, you know, as every day goes by. And when you train a model for yourself, you're putting in all these interviews, all these songs you've written, all these books. The AI is taking in that information. It is not getting diluted with any other outside information, only that. And it becomes kind of a second version of you, not to every degree, but to some degree, right?
Yes.
So if someone asks that a question after you've put enough information in, it can answer by saying, based on what I know, here's what I believe to be the answer. That should parallel and coincide what you as a person believe in, right? get better over time, both the technology and the amount of information in, and corrections, because Marcus may look at it and say, hey, that was wrong. Once he corrects it, it's corrected for life. So that process is corrected. So I think that therein lies the sort of big power of what we're talking about here. So if we could bring all that back to Timeless Legacies and tell us, like, define Timeless Legacy, what it does in that world, or what your concept is with it.
Right. So Timeless Legacies as a company, we have a particular criteria for customers for Timeless Legacies. And it's really around creating models for who I would call impactors, people that want to raise consciousness, that want to uplift humanity, that want to capture their legacy and have that legacy not live in the ways that we have seen legacies live, like on a building or through some books that they did in the past, but be able to continue to grow and expand the legacy. So whether that is taking a model and creating new books from that model, whether it is taking those things that the models were trained on and doing new things with it, right? As a creative aid. And so the clients for Timeless Legacies are people that have big messages to get out into the world. And what we as a company do is we accelerate that ability and that capability to do it in multiple languages, to be able to reach audiences that normally would take years to be able to access, to be able to instantaneously be able to access those audiences and help more people. And so
if I, just using I here as an example, if I signed up for Timeless Legacies and started putting all the content I have around me, mm-hmm. that I produced in the past and put that all in there, then I'm creating what I described a little bit ago on Timeless Legacies. Mm-hmm. So the magic of Timeless Legacies is it's become a comprehensive tool that includes what? It includes the marketing side of it, which you just mentioned, includes like what is it set up for now?
Yeah. So basically it combines a coaching aspect, because a lot of times one of the things that I discovered was that as a public figure in interviews, oftentimes we do interactions publicly that's focused on some product or some initiative or whatever, right? Or in our social media, it's showing one particular side of a person. But it may not capture what you think about relationships or what you think about spirituality or what you think about other areas that make us, right? And so part of what we do, and I have a system that I've developed in working with celebrity artists and politicians and CEOs and executives over the years that help to uncover and unearth the essence, right? And so what happens is in Timeless Legacies, those tools are part of Timeless Legacies that a client goes through, and really it's a self-discovery. It is being able to articulate the things that matter the most. And then from there, then the technology enables and magnifies and synthesizes and creates the opportunity for not just the legacy to continue and the ideas and the thoughts to continue, but also the monetization of that so that it can sustain over time.
So if I went on Timeless Legacies and started my own account and did all this, where does the data live? What I'm getting to is legacies is, let's just use the word forever, right? So where is all this living? Is it living on an AWS type of server? Is it living on some servers that you have? Is it living on my own local computer? Where does it live?
Yeah, it's localized. And I have an incredible team that's very advanced in these technologies and security and privacy, because this is crucial, right, to protect the privacy of these kinds of tools. And so, so we have systems and a team that is actually responsible for keeping all of that essence safe, which is
due to your background. I always assume music, you know, cause you've been, you know, in music for so long and at such a high level, but what you're describing here certainly includes music, video creation, et cetera, but you're going much wider than that as well. This is going to the greater world, from what you're describing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I started in music when I was 2, but I started my first company when I was 12, and that was a record label. And so I've developed in music, but also developed in entrepreneurship and business. And what I look at is how to create things that are sustainable, whether that's for a music artist, whether that's for a song, or whether that's for a CEO of a company that really wants to make an impact on the world and needs help in doing that. And so I created structures to support that.
So the examples that we can see, it's important for people to extrapolate out, and an example can be in one arena, but you've got to then take a step back and say, wow, I could do this over, you know, on the left, on the right, and in other places. And with that, I know you prepared a video for us. This give us a quick intro to what we're about to see.
Right. The thing about this video, which is one of the things that excited me, as I was in the, you know, they call it going into a rabbit hole. For me, it was Alice in Wonderland or Alex in Wonderland. It wasn't a rabbit hole. It was like, whoa, this is a whole universe here. And what one of the things that I did when I was playing around with these different tools was I cloned my voice. And last year I did 100 songs in 100 days, and I lost my voice in the middle of doing this project. And so I said, okay, there's gotta be a way for me to clone my voice. And so I cloned my speaking voice and basically did an album's worth of meditation music while I was recovering. And then I got my voice back and started back singing. And then I discovered later how to clone my singing voice. And by accident, I discovered that I could have my singing voice sing in other languages. So what you're about to play here is me singing in Spanish. And now I took Spanish in high school for a couple of years, but I am not a Spanish speaker and I'm not a Spanish singer. With that said,
I'm going to go a little step further. And that is, first of all, some people are watching this on YouTube, so they'll see what's about to be there. Others are watching audio only. You're about to hear the video, with
and the name of the song. Yeah. And the name of the song is El Playlist.
And I want to point it out for a couple of reasons. First of all, you know, Mark is just focused on the fact that, you know, he can produce something of him, his voice speaking in Spanish when he doesn't even speak the language. But also I want people to realize the time savings we're talking about. We'll get into that a little bit later, but the ability to do this, you know, was driven from 100 songs in 100 days. And I would suggest if he had to do 100 songs in a period of time now, it'd be much shorter than that. But with that, let's watch the video.
Si no sabes, te lo digo, el amor es pasión.
Okay, now that's pretty amazing, and I'm going to just make the assumption the Spanish was perfect. A lot of listeners will be able to be the judge of that, not I. But you know, amazing. So really, let's get to the time savings on it a little bit. You just did that in Spanish, but you could have picked from countless other languages, I assume. If I told you to kick that same song out in 10 different languages, you'd probably you know, send me over the links today or tomorrow. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. And that is the opportunity for people in the creative space. That is the opportunity that we have housed in Timeless Legacies, is that ability to now all of a sudden, my music can reach all these broader audiences. I'm going to be speaking at the Recording Academy, the Grammys organization, a little bit later on today to talk about some of the things that we're talking about here, actually, and the opportunities that exist for us as creatives to do such a thing. What it would take to basically do a song in Spanish, the weeks of training, working on bringing in someone to coach the language and the accents in all these different languages, someone hired to do the translation, all of to do what you suggested earlier, which is, you know, kick it back in all these different languages, would take months, right?
And tell me if I'm right or wrong. These days, you know, most people with a Mac and a guitar and a piano in their, you know, in their home, their apartment, become producers, right? There's so much they can do with those simple tools. I'm going to assume that whatever, I'm not aware of which programs songwriters compose on for themselves now, but there's a couple of them that are most popular. I'm going to suggest that those were harder to learn than to learn the ability to do what we just heard. Is that accurate?
A human is still needed.
Yep.
Right. So when I discovered all of these tools coming out and I said, you know what? I want to see if I can disrupt my businesses, my music business, my courses, training and development business. And so I started with that intention. Okay, can I fire myself? Right? How can I fire myself in this with the use of these tools? And so I started off with that intention, disruption. Okay. And it was just me and AI morning, evening, afternoon, at lunch, at dinner, right? And I'm saying, okay, there has to be a way. All right, so here's my C-suite. How can I, you know, this is me doing accounting, this is me doing you know, legal work. This is, how can I create bots that do that? How can I, on the producing end, how can I optimize? Can I fire myself from actually producing this song? Right? So all of those things, that's where I started. And where I landed was that this opportunity with the technology is not about disruption. That is about capability amplification. That it is about empowering the creativity, the imagination, the specialized knowledge to be able to do the things that we are already doing, but reduce the time and expand out the possibilities with that thing.
The point I was trying to get at, though, which you've elaborated on, and it's you're right on. I really, for our audience, how hard is it to learn to do some of these things? I shouldn't say hard. That's the wrong word. How much time do they have to invest till they can actually functionally start using some of this?
See, how long does it take to download an app and type something in?
Okay, there you go. That's it. All right. So let's jump into it. And I want to lean into music a little bit. What are some of your favorite collaborations between artists and AI? And, you know, how would those partnerships have set the groundwork for the future?
Well, some of those collaborations that are my favorite are things that I'm working on the music side that eventually will be released out to the public.
Yeah.
The things that are public, that are fascinating to me, and I think speak to the need to shift thinking, and that is things like what Grimes did and making her voice model available for other creatives to be able to interact with it, to play with it, to use it, use her voice as an instrument to create new works and still monetize that with them, right?
Yeah, this goes full circle to me talking about blockchain and crypto earlier and how they're all gonna overlap. It's exactly what Grimes was able to do, was to put her voice out there for anybody to rent, go use, and as streams, as any of that music is streamed, payments go out, micropayments go out. So that's powerful. It is so powerful.
Yeah. And so that's the best example of a creative adapting a new way of thinking. And I've loaned my voice out for a project that is being released. And it's an Oracle's project with Will Henshaw and Evo Henning. And basically, yeah, one of the songs or a couple of the songs are my voice model, right, being used. And that for people that use their voice for a living opens up a new opportunity. And I think about the people that have unique voices. Like, we all have a unique voice. There's a Ron voice, and there's a Marcus Bellringer voice, and there's a you voice for the listener. And you can now take your voice and actually monetize your voice.
Yeah, it's really powerful. And I'm drawing a blank. Will Henshaw, he was in a band back in the day. It was very substantial, and I can't remember which one he was in.
Yeah, London Beat.
London Beat, that's what it was. And they were groundbreaking at the time. They really went in some unique directions, really powerful. So it's great to hear you're partnering with him. One of the people that was on the forefront of the music evolution and now adding AI to it. I think it's really...
Yeah, well, he's one of the people that I would say has been an inspiration, because he was responsible for collaborative on the internet collaborations with recording artists. And so he developed a company, I think it was called the Rocket Network, that got acquired by Pro Tools. And so that's built into the Pro Tools system that everyone in the music industry knows. And so he's also a music futurist and or a technologist, right, as well.
Yeah.
And so he and I love to geek out. And so that project is all about that and playing around with it.
Yep. So I'm going to jump ahead just a few years. And here's where I'm going with this. If I asked you to envision entering the next decade, right? I break things down in decades as tech is concerned, and even music for that matter. Okay. But if we go into the next decade, about 6 years from now, or say 2030, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think it's like for artists and music creators? Let's keep it to artists and music creators. You know, what does their life look like when it comes to creation and marketing and production of music? You know, 6 years from now, since generative AI will be much further along than it is now.
Okay. I mentioned that I started when I was two.
Yeah, I want to hear some of those recordings, by the way.
And it took me decades to develop the skills at playing the instruments, learning what the instruments were, learning the music theory behind how things work together, being able to record that, being able to mix it and make it so that something is not sticking out that would be disturbing to a listener, right? All of those things took decades for me to gain specialized knowledge around from projects that I did where I was in India for 6 months working with, ragas and Carnatic Indian classical music and with tablas and all these, indigenous instruments, right? Understanding what that was, experiencing that. Well, all of that gaining specialized knowledge of writing charts for big bands and orchestras and getting my idea on a paper, presenting it to an orchestra for them to be able to play the idea that was in my head, and then saying, oh, that's not exactly what I meant. Hold on, change this, right? So the development of all that skill was to get to a point where whatever I imagine could be realized and manifested, okay, for general public. So using the word manifestation here in a different way, the ability in 2030 to go from, oh, I have this idea. I want to mix Balkan gypsy music with reggae and future pop with a little bit of dubstep and Pavarotti singing over top of it. And you press the button, you type that in, and you press the button, and then that gets added to your playlist on some streaming service. And when you are walking down the street and your mood changes for some reason, that song comes and plays, right? The possibilities that the wearables detect that, oh, now you need to hear that meditation music that you prompted or that you asked an AI machine to make, right? Or, oh, you're excited now, great. You must be at the gym. Now, that song that you prompted that says the exact words, I'm unstoppable in the gym, now is playing in your ears while you're on a treadmill.
So if you're the creator, if you're a songwriter or, you know, the creator of music, you're really reaching a far more vast audience because it's the AI that's going to pick up your music and marry it to what the listener is looking for at that time. They may never have heard of you, but it's getting pulled. Is that an accurate statement? So the marketing of the whole music industry gets thrown on its head.
Yes. And so everyone becomes a music producer.
Yeah.
Every listener here now has the power to be a music creator. So just like in elementary school, you know, where they would hand out the recorders and the tambourines and all these instruments. Yep. And every kid knew themselves to be someone that was a musician or has some musical capability because I play the recorder or I play the drums in music class, right?
But I think it's important to point out there's still going to be differentials. In other words, a lot of people could be DJs. We all know different songs and music, but there's some people that are great DJs, right? It's a different art form. So even utilizing AI, there's still room for greatness and motivation to study deeper, learn more, and spend time. I think AI will be a complete success if it goes full circle through streaming and back to full albums, but that's just a personal opinion. I don't know how we get there.
So Ron, the way I look at it is, as a buddy of mine, Dan Burris, likes to say, it's a both and, right? We're looking at a both and world with this. So there is the ability to write a book with AI now, but I like writing, right? It's soothing for my soul and spirit, right? I like going to play the piano and creating, even though I can generate a song, right?
Yes.
But I do enjoy the art. And that's, so there's a place where art and technology and the capacity of us as human beings inside of a technological world where all things are possible to merge and have our expression and our consciousness and our ideas and our ideals to be magnified inside of the technologies that exist.
Yeah, you know, I'll share something that was told to me. If you have any problems in life, get out and get ready for it. Get out an old-fashioned pen and paper and just start writing. And you can do with that something you can't do with a keyboard. It's a processing thing. I don't know how the brain works, but there's something there Know that whatever you're writing, you're going to toss and never show anybody, but just start writing. And there's value to that. And that to me is what you're describing with music too. If you're at the keyboard, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel what's right, what's wrong, where you want to go. Your brain will engage and create a different product than it would just pushing buttons. And with that, Marcus, by the way, this has been amazing, but we're just going to head to the next section. And this is the part that it's kind of there to make you nervous. I'll go with that. But it's to get to know you a little bit more as to how you tick. So it's called AI Wants to Know. AI is curious, and so are we. So these are 10 quick questions, and they're designed to uncover the intriguing human mysteries that AI longs to comprehend, but it can't. It's a snack break in our journey, so keep the answers quick. The safety belt sign, that's off. So if it feels right, we can occasionally roam about the cabin, exploring more of who you are and what makes you tick. You ready for this?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Before we continue with this episode, here's a quick glimpse into where our journey is headed next. Step into the future this April 23rd at Outer Edge Riyadh as we explore the next wave in Web3, AI, and beyond with our co-host Animoca Brands, Cast, Neom, and many partners.
Experience art, culture, and co-creation while building bridges with the leading minds behind smart cities, gaming, and Web3, such as His Royal Highness Prince Fazel and Yat Su, Chairman of Animoca Brands, leaders of pioneering companies such as Shrapnel and Nukta, the first Saudi Arabian NFT marketplace, will also be joining us. Don't just watch the future unfold, be part of it. Join the fun with the elite in shaping tomorrow. See you at the outer edge of innovation by going to outeredge.live/Riyadh, R-I-Y-A-D-H.
And now back to the show.
All right, what's the first thing you ever remember being proud of?
Finishing my first song called Free at Last when I was 8 years old. And when I was asked to play that first song in front of an audience and got a standing ovation.
Wow. Wow. Well, at some point we're going to have to hear a recording of that, either a recording from then or a recording from now. Doesn't matter. Love to hear what came out of that. Question number two, what do you need help with that you wish that you did not?
Accounting.
Well put. What do others often look to you for help with?
Clarity and how to build wealth and impact in the world.
Fabulous. That's super powerful. What do you most treasure about your human abilities?
I'd say is my ability to create and learn and grow and develop and hyper-focus on an activity.
Perfect drill down. Throughout your whole life, what's the most consistent thing about you?
Most consistent. I'm unstoppable. When I decide to do something, it's an obsession.
Well, that's why you have the resume that you have. Throughout your whole life, what has changed the most?
What's changed the most, I would say, is my relationship with money and fame and impact. I see that the more resources and the more resourced I am, the more people I can help.
Well, again, super powerful. What is it that you find strangest about reality?
Reality. What reality? See, I think this existence is all made up of narratives and is based on the decisions of everyone before us.
it's a question for the, you answered a question with a question, but it reminds me of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which I'm not gonna ruin it for anybody that hasn't read it, but it ties right into that. Right? When most recently do you remember feeling alive?
When my daughter started letting me hear her singing voice.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Wow. What do you see as your most unique trait?
I'd say my imagination, my ability to see the future in markets and technology and music, see the future in my life and in other people's lives too. My imagination, I would say.
All right. If you weren't human, what would you be?
God. I would be God. The ultimate.
I gotta let that one sit for a while. That's really, 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 we've never had that answer before. And it's so much to think about there. Well done. We're going to lighten it up on that one a little bit. So this is a bonus question specifically for you. As we mentioned in the beginning, the Bell Ringer Branding Bible was a best-selling book you and your mom co-wrote. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite either lesson out of there or your favorite part of it, the singular thing you'd like to bring up here?
I'm glad you asked. So that book, the first part of it is story and context. The second part of the book is all inquiry questions, Socratic method. And that's my favorite part of the book because someone can take that book. I've had CEOs buy the book and say, this is not a book for musicians. This is a book for anybody, really, because there are questions and prompts, like regular prompts, not AI prompts. But prompts for your thinking. And that second part is worth, the value times 1,000.
Amen. Which is why it's still on the top 100 after half a dozen years. So this next section is to allow you to highlight some of the leading individuals, projects, and organizations that have influenced you. So can you tell us about some leaders that you notice in the world of AI?
Sure. So Ray Kurzweil, for sure.
Yeah.
For what he's done for the music industry to Google Talk to Books to, I mean, his talk about a resume of expansion and impact and the way his work has impacted people's thinking about technology. So Ray. The other person is a recording artist and technologist that I've produced and business partners with. Her name is Shalita Burke. She is a masterful human. And I've learned so much about AI from her from 10 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
We were looking at how to organize and use AI tools to speak to our large audiences. Because we had like millions of people through across our social media platforms. And so we were investigating chatbots and all that. And Shalita said, oh yeah, this is how you do that. Right. I mean, it's like, yeah. So she's a super genius.
Is there anybody else you want to mention that might come from outside of the AI world, but they're been a huge influence on you?
Yeah, sure. So the other outside of the AI world, well, huge influence. There's a woman by the name of Dr. Monica Sharma, and she's been a huge influence on my thinking around systemic social change.
Okay.
Because I really deeply care about empathy and compassion for myself and all of humanity. And she retired from the UN and she works with the Dalai Lama and some Nobel laureates. And she's been very helpful for me in looking at how to make an impact in the world in the most effective ways based on tools that she's used that has created a reduction in sex trafficking in certain countries and reduction in HIV/AIDS and all of the work that she did. And she has a book that I'm actually featured in called Radical transformational leadership. And so so she's someone I would point to, that she doesn't have a lot of social media presence and all of that, although her book was a great success. But she's like a hidden gem for humanity.
Fantastic. Is there anybody that we haven't mentioned that you want to give a shout out to, or mention their X handle, or any way to follow them? Anybody we haven't mentioned?
Yeah. So I would point to Evo Henning and the things that she's doing. I'm not sure what her handle is. There's a Curious Refuge. They're filmmakers in AI. And I've been actually studying filmmaking using AI through their program, which is good. And on the business marketing side, there are people like John Benson and Sam Wood that have created some great trainings around using AI for marketing. And yeah, and I've created a bunch of programs to support people in their journey in AI with Wealth and Impact Bootcamp.
So I was going to ask you about favorite resources within AI next, but you kind of just handled it. What was the gentleman's name you just mentioned that trains on AI for marketing?
Yeah, so in terms of resources, I would point to, I have a website called bellringertools.com. And on bellringertools.com, basically I have a list of a lot of the AI tools that I use for creative and business, right? And I would point, so I mentioned John Benson and Sam Wood as on the marketing side, because, you know, they've been at it for a long time in terms mm-hmm. of developing AI tools. But that's kind of like on the digital marketing side of things. But yeah, so in bellringertools.com, you know, people can access a lot of the tools that I've been using.
That's fantastic. Super helpful for all of our listeners. So we can, you know, our goal here is to certainly educate, but even beyond that, give them useful tools that can help save them a lot of the exploration time and go straight into utilizing them. So that's what that mm-hmm. did. It's really, really fantastic. So Bellringer Tools is a great place to go.
One other thing I want to add, sure. Ron,
yeah.
if that's okay, that, so ChatGPT is the most viral, right, AI tool. I would use the word viral. But the magic for ChatGPT are in the GPTs right now. And uh-huh. and the playground.openai, like those two areas, a part of that system, that's where you can tune how creative things respond, how strict you can put in custom instructions, and all there are so many different ways that you can use ChatGPT, since it's popular, that a lot of people may not be aware of, that will enhance its capabilities.
It's a really big deal, and hence the word playground. It's exactly what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah, love that. So we know we go to Bellringer Tools. Is where else can people go to learn more about you and the projects that you're working on?
Yeah, I will point people to my LinkedIn. So if you type in Marcus Bellringer, I'll come up there. If you Google Marcus Bellringer, I'm on all the social media platforms. And yeah, and Wealth and Impact Bootcamp.com is a place where if people are looking for training specifically on AI, or they want to grow their wealth and make an impact in the world and do something great for humanity, that's where they can go and get resourced.
Marcus Bell, it's been really fantastic. I can't thank you enough for taking time out for this podcast. And no doubt the audience is going to absolutely love it. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Ron, for having me.
All right. It's time for another safe landing at the outer edge of the AI universe for today. This is your Captain Ron. And on behalf of our guest and the entire crew, I'd love to thank you for choosing to voyage with us today. We wish you a safe and enjoyable continuation of your journey. When you come back aboard, make sure to bring a friend. Our starship is always ready for more adventures. If you're listening, go to Spotify or iTunes right now, rate us, and say something awesome. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, hit the subscribe button and pass this episode onto a friend or two. Your support and feedback means the world to us. Don't forget to visit edgeofai.xyz, and you can learn more about partnering and subscribe to the Outer Edge newsletter for the latest Edge of company news, events, and show drops. In addition, connect with us on all the major social platforms by searching for edgeof_AI and join the exciting conversations that are all happening online. Before we sign off, mark your calendars for our next voyage, where we'll continue unraveling AI mysteries and advancements. Until then, bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Edge of AI reflect solely those views and opinions of the show hosts and its guests. Please make sure to do your own research. While we make every effort to ensure that the information about AI technology is accurate and up-to-date, we cannot guarantee its accuracy, completeness, or timeliness. We make no representations or warranties of any kind with respect to the information, products, or services discussed. Please be aware AI may occasionally generate incorrect or misleading information and produce offensive or biased content. Under no circumstances shall we be liable for any loss or damage, including without limitation, indirect or consequential loss or damage, or any loss or damage arising from loss of data or profits arising out of or in connection with the use of technology discussed on our podcast. Additionally, our show is not financial advice. You understand that you are using any and all information available on or through this podcast at your own risk. Whenever making financial decisions, we recommend doing your own research and talking to your accountant for financial advice. Lastly, time to time, we may feature sponsored content on the show for which we receive value, and we may share links for which we receive a commission if you make a purchase through one of these links. Refer to our website, edgeofai.xyz, for our full disclaimer, terms and conditions, privacy policy, and copyright notice.